bubble as you clutch a red dragon? A bearded woman punches from behind her flagon. A dead bog all around, you're sinking in the sand. An important contract turns to ash in your hands. The conductor sits alone, bored in the caboose. You know what might liven his day? Cauldron juice.
So if you recall, you were all being very contemplative in the mess hall after seeing an almost stabbing. Bubba, he was head of security on the boat, a dwarf man. He got a knife pulled on him by Marius, who's the first officer, and she was talking about how sick she was of the way things were, and we got a little bit of a thing going on the ship, a little bit of contention. Hecuba came in to see you guys when everybody else had left. She set down her bag on the table and opened it up, and there were the two gems, because Hecuba has decided that it's time that you guys learn a little bit more about how this works.
It's about time.
She pulls it out, and she pulls out open her bag, and there's the green one and the purple one. The purple gem must have been the one to open the portal. Am I right? And the green one opens one that is yet to be open.
Wait, what?
There are 5 portals to other worlds. The portals were made by the ancient dwarven people who tapped into the magic deep into the earth, pulled it up like a wellspring from within, and crafted their magics around it.
Can we enter into those other worlds?
Certainly, certainly. My people did for a long time. I do not know why the portals were closed, and I do not know why the keys were spread out into the world, but it was part of Master Sor's order to keep them separated. Because of my closeness with my half-brother, I know some small part in what we have to play.
This gives reason. Why, then, have they been closed so long that dragons vanished from this world?
Well, dragons, I don't think, definitely not as present as maybe they once were. But there are still rarely dragons in this world, but now I imagine there are many, many more. I didn't see how many came out of that portal, but I do not wish you to tell me.
Are you saying that one of these opened a portal that let out all those dragons I saw?
Yes, that's right, Anthel.
Does that mean that one of you let out all of these dragons?
Sao puts her hands on the table and like slowly gets to her feet, and she goes, "What?
No, we did not open the portal. We were there, but we didn't know what was happening, and we tried to stop. We were attacked by the people who opened the portal."
Make a deception check.
Wait, weren't we? We didn't do it.
One of our companions deceived us.
So if you go back and listen, both Aziza and Kosof were like, "Do it, do it, do it."
Right, but I meant we tried to stop like the group itself. Like we fought them.
Hecuba says, "Yes, that is the order of the Dragon Club. I never understood why they named themselves that, but they are intent on reopening the portals, and they are a most mysterious order."
So how did you guys get a hold of these magnificent stones?
Because I have a powerful sleight of hand check.
So Hecuba says, "I don't know how you all came across the purple stone, but I am the keeper of the green stone, and once I encountered you all and Tam here, I decided I must take it with me."
Hmm. All right, then.
She leans over and picks up the green stone. It looks like it is how it's cut, how this gem is cut, is like rapidly changing in geometry.
So it's no longer pear-shaped teardrop?
Right, right. So it was smooth, and now it's changing between like perfectly, it's like flashing between perfectly square and then having many sides and everywhere in between.
Strange. So it's like a polymorph.
She holds it up and it stops and it's set to be many-sided. This is the searching stone. The holder can direct it and it will tell you how close you are getting. For example, she leans out with the stone and looks Aziza in the face and concentrates. And the stone in her hands decreases in the number of sides it has slowly until it is a cube, basically, with a little round bottom. And she says, the closer I get to my goal, whatever it is, the fewer sides the stone will have. And then she, like, breaks eye contact and the stone goes back to having many sides. And then when she sets it back down on the table, it goes smooth like the purple stone. The other property is by getting a little bit of dwarven blood on it, and you can see where the other stones are in the world.
We experienced Tam do this.
Yes, I showed you all how to do that.
But it's not specific just to Tam.
No, it's not. It's any dwarven blood.
So I have a question.
To our people. Certainly, I will try to answer.
Why were the dragons then waiting at the gate?
I'm not certain how or why the gate released the dragons. And I don't think that's neither here nor there. But I think what we can expect is for the other portals to open to more chaos.
We must stop this as fast as possible.
Hecuba looks, like, really exasperatedly over at Anthal. Captain Obvious over here. She picks up the purple stone. She holds it out towards Xander. Xander, you feel a very difficult to explain feeling within you. As though you are much older and shorter and your skin is wrinkly. And then the feeling passes. And this is the stone of language. It can break barriers between problems and communicating.
Why couldn't you guys use that when you were battling goblins? And I was KO.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't know what it did.
No one tried.
No one would let me touch it.
Well, you don't count.
She puts it on the wooden table and slides it over to Xander. Try to communicate something to me without words.
Okay. I'm thinking of a card. A playing card.
Really? Can you not seriously think of anything fucking better?
We're on a ship.
she guesses, she says, yes, I do see how this could be used in card tricks and gambling. He's thinking of the Jack of Clubs at the moment.
You are absolutely correct. Oh my goodness.
She reaches out for you to slide it back over to her.
And I slide it back.
Okay.
Ooh.
She puts it back on her bag. There are 5 stones, 2 of which, who has them or where they might be.
But that means you know where the 3rd one is.
I have an idea.
Well, we saw the map.
Yes, we can look at the map again. I didn't take a close look at it of any note when we last pulled it up. But the last stone, the other stones are not shaped quite the same as these two. But the white stone, Master Sor held on to it. And so I would imagine that it is probably still near him, wherever
his remains.
He was last.
We would have seen it. We burned his body.
Well, that's the only clue I have to go off of. But he would not tell me what it did, only that he had it.
Perhaps it's in the remains of the or monastery.
She goes back, she takes the 2 gems out of the bag again and puts them on the table and says, I don't think any one person should have these. And you can decide among yourselves whether you keep responsibility or trade it. But I think I'm done holding on to these for now. And she puts them on the table and she backs up from them and sits down in a squeaky chair.
I will take the one that does telepathy.
That does what?
It does, that you can communicate telepathy.
It's not straight telepathy, but okay. So you're going to take the purple one.
I kind of shoot a look over to Sal.
Sal looks at you and shakes her head. Like, no, don't do it.
I just stay there.
I don't feel comfortable carrying one of these, so someone else wants the other one.
Okay, your option is either me or you, so...
We don't trust you.
Maybe...
Well, my vote is Anthel, if we had to pick.
I'm giving, like, a really, really hard look at Tam right now.
I mean, we might as well leave one with one of the dwarves, in case we need to use dwarven blood to find the others. We give it to Tam.
Alright, we'll take the green gem. That makes sense.
Okay. Hecuba says, well, I'm satisfied with that. I think the rest of you, like, everybody goes to bed and has a good sleep. And I think that basically for the next week or so, you all are on this boat and you're asked to do various things, but basically either from direct orders from the captain or through somebody who takes orders from the captain. So some of you may have received orders from Marius, the elf who, you know, you guys saw pull the knife. Some of you maybe from Bubba, who the knife got pulled on. Some of you maybe, like Kosef, you're probably working with Blanchette, who's the head of navigation, who works with the captain a lot, since you've been sailing before. And you guys all help keep the ship spit shape.
Aziza has many nightmares along the way.
Oh, yeah. So, that's referring to the Halloween episode, which is like basically a really bad dream that Aziza had because she's scared of water.
I really wish I was there for that.
Oh man, it was really good. So I think you guys, I would take a lot more time to show this, but I think we're going to get on to like what happens next, but
woo.
Yay.
You guys would see more and more of like the little details of contention among the crew. That there's kind of like almost like a faction that divides up. Bubba, who's head of security, he is clearly the captain's man through and through, but even his wife is unsure. I think you would see the captain making mistakes, telling somebody to go do something when somebody else was already doing it. You would see the captain looking at like ledger books and being incredibly frustrated, scratching things out and rewriting them, muttering to himself. Blanchett, who's helps him with navigation, would be right there by his side, but probably looks concerned about the captain, about how he's doing things. You guys are all on different parts of the ship. One evening, by this point, the sun has gone down. You guys are basically in the middle of the ocean, headed towards Rook Glen. All of you from various parts of the ship hear a scuffle up on the top deck.
I head there immediately.
And don't forget the goblinoids. They're kind of in this big crate, this big empty crate on the top of the deck. They got their own like place. They're up there too. And you would see a lot of them throughout the ship, hiding in holes and getting into things they weren't supposed to be in.
I am stealthily going towards the source of the noise.
Okay, make a stealth check.
That's going to be an 8.
You maybe hide behind down under the stairs and try to get a good look. A couple people bump into you and run past you as they go up the stairs, and they easily see you, and they see that you're kind of lurking around. So I think you all go up on deck. Marius and a couple of the other crew, including Kosef, you'll note, Kel, who was the halfling who watched you and
Ebony
do a little drink off.
Yes.
Kel's standing behind Marius along with a couple of other crew members. Marius is looking at the captain and basically yelling at him. We've had enough. We're not going to Rook Glen. We're not going to Rook Glen, Hooten. We know we can get better pay in Mordi. And the captain goes, We cannot do that, Marius, and I will not have you defy me. God, you think my pirate voice was good, but no, it's just not. What explanation do you have for why we go to Rooklyn instead of Mordi? Hooten says, you know very well that the goods there are often stolen, resold. It's not good business. And Marius says, what is that our problem? We will get paid practically 5 times the amount.
Wow.
Like, the ears perk up around the circle up on deck. And even some of the little goblinoid things have come out to, like, watch, see what's going on.
Psst, Aziza, maybe we should just, like, sit this one out. It really doesn't seem like our business, you know?
Well, we need to go to Rook Glen, don't we?
Yeah, as he says that to Aziza, I rush forward into their, like,
oh, Jesus.
Direct vicinity, and I say, we were promised passage to Rook Glen, I think we should see that through.
Damn it.
She says,
you're an idiot.
Well, unluckily for you, it looks like that deal's about to change.
I'm going to sneak around somewhere because I think things are going to get bad really fast.
I am going to walk up to her and be super scary and actually use intimidation.
Okay, you can make an intimidation roll if you'd like.
17 plus 6.
So how do you want to intimidate her?
I walk straight up to her and look at her with my eyes, horns pointed straight at her and say, we're going to Brooklyn.
She doesn't say anything for a moment and looks at you and kind of looks down and turns a little bit as if she was about to turn away. And then she pulls out her sword. And so do four other of the people around her, including Kel, Silas, who is the kind of a sneaky elf who's on board. Bubba, he says, Charity, no.
Okay, wait. I think I should get an advantage on this roll because I should get an advantage on my first attack because theoretically I should have intimidated her way more than that.
I will give you on your next roll against Marius, you can have advantage.
Okay.
The deal is that you can't, if somebody is convinced of something and you're trying to convince them otherwise, if it would be impossible, you can't do it, right? You rolled really well, but she was dead set.
She'd rather face the consequences, Mars.
Apparently.
As they pull out their swords, I'm going to pull out mine, too.
And I'm still sneaking.
All right.
Yep.
I think the boat rocks, and Tam leans over the side and pukes. Because Tam is sick still. So Tam like rushes below deck and is going to be out of this. But Kosef, what are you doing?
I'm going to kind of back up toward the way down. You know, I'm going to check on Tam and make sure she's okay. You know, I'm worried about her. Him, I mean.
As
can I bitch slap him with magic? Is that a thing?
It's a level 3 spell, actually.
There's a big orc man, and he was one of the people who pulled out his sword. He sees you trying to follow Tam, and he holds out his sword to block your way, Kosef.
Oh, man. Shit. I'm just checking my friend. You guys do your thing. This ain't my business.
He motions you. He goes, back on the deck.
You can't squeeze your way out of everything.
Back on the deck.
Back on the deck. I put my hands upward in a non-threatening manner and back slowly up on back toward the deck.
Okay, the captain, he's like, enough of this. Marius, you want control of the ship. I'll give it to you if it means avoiding bloodshed. And she goes, good, I expected as much from you. I think from the side, Bob the cook tackles Marius to the ground. And I think at that point, all goes into chaos. And Bubba pulls out a sword. Ebony pulls out her sword. There's a couple of the people on deck who are backing up out of the way. And I'll have you all roll initiative.
Woo!
Now, we're going to do a special initiative here.
I rolled a natural 20.
Boom.
Well, you won't be rolling a d20 for your initiative.
Grant, why do you have to make the rules so complicated?
Mars,
to D&D.
He sent us a thing on this like a week ago.
Yes, and I didn't read it.
Well, whose fault is that? All right, so here's how this is going to work. You'll be rolling what you want to do on your turn, okay? So if you want to do an action or attack with something that takes a d6, you'll roll a d6. If you want to attack with something that uses a d8, like Xander, you have a rapier. If you want to use that rapier to attack, you'll roll a d8. If For example, you want to move. And so movement is also going to be an additional D6 on top of whatever the other thing you do is. So let's say Aziza wanted to move and cast magic. Magic is a D12, so Aziza would roll a D12 and a D6. And then that's the total of your initiative for this round. And I won't be keeping track of the initiative. You'll get your initiative number, and then I'm going to start calling out numbers. And when I get to your number, you're going to let me know it's your turn.
Okay, so where's our bonus coming to all of this then? Because like I have a dexterity bonus and a strength bonus and all sorts of fun bonuses.
Yeah.
The bonuses on your weapon will be to hit. That won't be for your turn.
Okay.
Your initiative modifier, it'll say like +2 or +3. Whatever that number is, let's say it's +2.
Okay.
You can subtract that from your roll. So I'm going to count up. I'll go 0, 1, 2, 3. And then, Elliot, if you rolled a 6 total and you have a +3 to dex, you'll subtract that 3 from the 6. You'll be number 3. Does that make sense?
Yes. Does anybody have any questions? Just real quick. Like as an example, I want to swing my sword and attack somebody. I'd roll a d6, and then I'd minus my initiative bonus.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. If you also... Movement is like additional. So like the attack or the action, that's one die. Okay?
Yeah.
You can change what you do once it's your turn. Like based on what happened during combat, you can do something else. But at the beginning, you have to think, what do I intend to do? And if you intend to move and attack with a short sword, you'd roll a d6 for movement and a d6 for the short sword.
And then you total those and subtract your modifier then, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so what about my bonus action then? Do I have to like roll for that also?
No. Bonus actions you can do on your turn as a bonus. They don't count towards this.
Okay.
There's only two dice you'd be rolling. One for the either attack or action you want to do, and then one for movement. Movement will always be a D6. Actions, like general actions, will always be a D6. And then you'll also, like if you don't want to do an action, you want to attack, you'll roll that die that you attack with. So, but okay. The special case is magic, right? Magic is a D12.
Right.
I think so.
Cool. Okay. Are we good?
I'm looking at your text with all the rules right now, so I think we can make it.
Okay. So everybody roll for themselves. I'm not going to keep track. You keep track of your own number, and I'll announce the numbers.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Wait, quick question. So if I subtract my modifier at the end, and it's just 0, it's not going to be like negative?
No, it will be negative. Yeah.
Oh,
if
shit.
You go below 0, that's fine. I'll basically start out at like -5. Like it doesn't, it is going to determine how quick you are. It's not really...
Okay.
Doesn't make a big difference in terms of the game.
Got it. Yep.
So if you want to do less, like if you don't want to move and you want to attack with a dagger, you'd only roll a D4. So you're probably going to pull out your dagger and stab somebody faster than they can move and do magic.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
But it's not guaranteed. Okay. So everybody good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So roll initiative for the first round. And I'm going to roll initiative as well. So I think what we have on deck is 5 people. Charity the Dwarf, Silas the Half-Elf, Kel the Halfling, Aranda the Orc, and Marius the Elf. I don't expect you all to keep track of that, but I'll let you know who's attacking you and where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob just tackled Marius, and Marius chucks Bob off of her because Bob is light and bony and old and gets to her feet.
Yep.
-5, -4, -3.
Okay, that's me.
Okay.
So I am going to sneakily dash, if I can do that, behind something where somebody's not going to see me, so I can do a sneak attack a little bit later.
I think you can run. I think you can dash and run away. I don't know. I mean, it is night, but like people can see everybody else. There would be torches on the posts.
Okay, so what's near Marius then? If she's like throwing Bob off and everything like that, is there like something that I can hide behind that's near her that I can just stab her from?
So I think the layout of the boat is as follows. You guys are in the front section of the deck, of the lower deck. There are 2 upper decks on either end. of the boat. Okay, so there are some stairs up to where you steer and stairs up to the back. Those are both decks. There are two masts. In between the masts is the big crate where the goblinoids are. You guys are in front of those two masts. There's a little bit of space. There are a couple of staircases on either side that go down into the lower decks. And under the front high up deck, that's the captain's quarters. And that door is shut. Good so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, good so far. So where's Marius? Where's everybody in relation to all of this?
Okay, so I think all of the rest of you are around, basically in a circle around where Marius and the other mutineers are. And they would kind of be all next to each other.
Yeah, I stepped forward, though, didn't I?
You did. So you're kind of amidst them. But did you pull out your sword?
I did when she got tackled and everyone else pulled out their sword, so did I.
So I think you'd be, Anthel would be close to Aranda the Orc, who's larger than him. You'd have between you and Marius, Xander, there would be the halfling Kel, small.
Okay, so I am going to move to the crate and then I'm going to take my bonus action to hide.
So you rolled for movement when you rolled?
Yeah.
So you're going to move to the behind the crate, away from the action, and just duck out behind there?
Yes, I am going to hide.
Okay. Kel sees you turn tail and immediately turns away, assuming that you're running away.
That's why I was trying to sneakily do this.
Well, everybody's kind of on guard at this point. If you can come up with something cool, or I'll give it to you. But, I mean, we're on a deck. People are ready to fight.
Okay, fine, then he can follow me, but I'm going to kill him.
No, Kel's a woman, and she does not follow you. She assumes that you're turning tail.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to basically run away, then. I thought she was going to follow me. So, perfect. No. I'm going to be hiding, then, behind the crate.
Okay. Okay, -2.
Me.
Go ahead.
The orc you said that's nearest me, right?
Yeah.
Is Aranda?
Yep, Aranda.
Aranda, and I'm assuming he has his sword or whatever drawn.
He does, yeah.
So I'm going to try to get a cheap shot on him with my sword, and I'm going to use... Well, I have one other question. Is the captain vulnerable in all of this to be killed?
I think that he is still putting his hands up and trying to, like, stop you guys from doing anything. He has a sword at his hip, but he's not pulled it out.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my question. Like, is it possible for him to die in this situation?
It's possible for anybody to die in this situation.
Okay, so I'm going to take a cheap shot with my sword or, like, shield bash. I guess not shield bash. I'm going to, like, swing my sword at the orc, and I'm going to use my bonus action for rally on the captain, giving him extra HP.
How much HP does that give him? I think you roll a what?
So I roll my D8 for my superiority die plus my charisma modifier.
Okay, do it.
So 3 plus 1, 4. Not much, but... enough.
And do you want to make the attack the orc?
Yes, I made a... Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Roll a d20 and add your attack bonus.
14.
You lunge out, and you do barely connect. You scrape along his armor. Go ahead and roll for damage.
Woo! 6.
You slice open his ribs, and he looks up to the sky and roars, and it's like a deep lion roar. Like, it hits you in the gut.
Ooh, kind of scary.
-2, -1, 0.
Me.
Kosef.
With my hands still up in the air, I'm going to skirt the danger and head toward the stern of the ship.
You can easily move away. Nobody is blocking you from that side.
Cool. Once I get there, I kind of, like, lower my hands, like, partway. Not all the way, but, like, most of the way.
Yeah, so you're near the back. I think you passed... You pass Xander as you go back along the crate, and you're probably, you've backed out of sight.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
That's all I'm doing.
Okay. I think that was 1, right?
That was 0.
You were at 0.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. So I would like to cast Bleed Ward on Marius.
On Marius?
Yes.
Marius is the elf who is the first mate who's leading the mutiny.
Right. And wait.
So you want to cast a protective spell?
No, Bladeward. I'm sorry. I thought I said Firebolt. I meant yes. Firebolt. That is what I intended.
I was like, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Surprise.
I meant Bladeward.
Aziza betrays the group.
I know. No, I know.
You didn't mean Bladeward. You meant Firebolt.
I meant Firebolt.
Makes a little more sense. Okay. So go ahead and make a ranged spell attack against her.
So I rolled a natural 20.
So you hit and you do double damage. So go ahead and roll for damage.
Right, which is a d10. So I rolled a 7.
You chuck this huge fireball at her. Like, how do you want to throw it? How do you want to do this?
Dude. So I'm super furious at this point, and I'm super scary. And I, like, make this huge firebolt. Like, huge. Like, probably
three... I mean, you're not going to burn me, Mars. Shit, careful.
I mean, it's not a fireball spell. There's a spell called fireball, which is a huge...
I mean, it's like a long, sharp-looking, flaming thing. And it's bigger than one that you guys have ever seen me cast. And it is...
So you're going to throw like a professional picture?
Well, I have it like hovering above my head, right? Creating it. And then when I cast, then it goes straight at her.
Okay. So you like, you full on like, hold, like lift it up above you and then pull it down in between both your hands. Totally exactly like a pitcher would. You like, look at her, lift your leg up and chuck it. And it just hits her full in the chest. And, like the silvery armor she was wearing is charred, and she lets out like the wind got knocked out of her.
Dude, I just hit her for 14 damage. Just the wind got knocked out of her? Are you kidding me?
That's what you see happen, but you fucking burned her.
Yeah, she should be burning to death right now.
Just because you have 14 health doesn't mean everybody does, okay? Okay, and then she stumbles back a bit, and she rolls forward. At the same time, Aranda the Orc strikes at Anthel. At the same time as that, Silas and Charity, they strike out at Sal. Kel runs after Kosif. So we'll start with Marius. Marius does a front roll on the deck and lunges upward at Aziza.
Oh, shit.
That's 20 to hit, so that'll hit.
Wait, who is coming at me? Marius.
Marius, the one you just hit with a huge smote of flame.
Cool. Yeah, is he still on fire?
She. She's smoldering.
Good.
That's great.
She lunges up and connects, and it sinks deep into your leg, and you take 4 damage.
Okay.
Ooh.
The orc, Aranda, attacks Anthel.
Yes.
For 13, does that hit?
Nope, my armor class is 16.
You move out of the way, and because you're ready for it.
Yeah.
The pain you hit him with is distracting him.
I'm agile. Nimble on my feet, peeps.
Let's see. Silas and Charity both take swings at Sal. She dodges the elves, but takes a hit in the arm from Charity, who's Bubba's wife. Mm-hmm. Bubba, he calls out, "Charity, no!" And he runs up to her and tries to stop her. She knocks him out of the way. No problem.
Oh, I'm going to have to kill the bookkeeper. Feels man. Sorry, guys.
Xander, I'm going to give you a chance to make a stealth check, because as Kel is going to come around this crate, you need to either figure out a way to hide or get up on top of the crate or up into the crow's nest. You need to do something to stay out of the way, which is what you wanted.
Right, well, I wanted to hide, and that's kind of like the whole thing, because that was my bonus action right there. But that's going to wind up being a 15.
Yeah, I think you can do what you want to do. Do you just want to go around the back, or do you want to go...
I want to hide, so that way, because, like, my whole thing right here is that as Kel's running by, Like, I don't want Kel to know that I'm there, but I'm going to be making an attack on her. Because, honestly, like, she thought I was just running away, right? So wouldn't she be surprised if she were all of a sudden ambushed right there?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so I think you have sense enough to go back all the way to the back of the crate. I'm imagining the crate as, like, open in the front, and then the other five sides of this cube are closed. So that it's, like, just the one front side facing the front mast is open. And all the goblinoids have a full view to the action on the front deck. So you go back behind the back of the crate. And where did you go, Kosif?
I was just going to head as far back on the ship as I could, pretty much. Like, maybe not all the way to the very end, but near the helm or something.
You want to go up to the... Are you running up the back deck onto the higher back deck?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, so you run up there, and Kel is running after you toward the stairs, and that will give Xander an opportunity attack.
Okay, so I roll for my d20 on that one?
Yep. And it's a sneak attack, so you get lots of things, but I have not kept track of those.
And are we agreeing that she's of the surprise status because she's being ambushed right now?
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, perfect. So that's going to be 18.
To hit?
Yeah, to hit.
Yeah, you'll connect with
her. Okay, so now since she's surprise status... everything is going to be double because this is a critical hit because she's surprised. Because I'm assassin.
Cool.
Okay.
So that is going to be... So
are you adding your sneak attack, your 2d6
I'm
to the roll?
I'm adding sneak attack. So the first one was a 5. So that's going to be 9 plus another 5. So 9 plus 5 is 14. Doubling that is going to be for 28.
Okay. You lunge out as she's running past. You slip between... two pieces of her armor that connect under her right arm as she runs past you. She's on, you know, she's on the right side of the boat, but running back to the back. So you're on her right. You slip not just between her armor, but through her ribs, and you feel your go all the way through her chest.
Oh no, that would hurt like a motherfucker.
And as you pull back your sword, Kel becomes limp, and this halfling, this very small halfling woman, collapses onto the deck and slides a bit. She's completely motionless.
You're going to piss off Elrulian, though.
Yeah, and actually, so Elrulian is, she is looking down from the front deck, the top front deck, at the action, not engaging in it. Elrulian was watching Kel. So Elrulian is an elf woman, and they were partners on the ship. They were dating, and I think as you do that, Xander, you hear an incredibly loud and high-pitched scream from somewhere at the front of the deck.
He was cradle robbing.
Oh my god.
I mean,
oh my gosh. Wow.
They're both women.
Oh, my bad. She was cradle robbing.
So they were of equivalent maturity. Elrulian is an elf and Kel a halfling, but they were...
She's still 4 times her age.
Okay, anyway. So...
Age doesn't matter, damn it.
Well, I guess you fixed that problem, didn't you?
I can't handle this right now.
And I'll have you all roll initiative for a new round.
Oh, fuck. Okay. A quick question.
Yep.
How close is Sao to me based on where I'm at and she is?
She's probably 10 feet away.
Okay, so not too far.
Right.
Okay.
How do you feel about that murder, Xander?
It's part of the job, right?
That was an assassination. Thank you very much.
Kosif, did you see that happen, Kosif, or were you busy running away?
I think when I hear the scream, I was planning on my turn to say that I looked back in response to it, and so I assume unless there's anything blocking my view, I assume I would have seen Kel fall to the ground. And Xander pulling out a sword.
Well, that changed somebody's loyalty. Okay. -5 to 0.
I have a -2.
Okay, you're first.
I am going to be moving back towards where Kosith is.
Okay, so you're going to go up onto the higher deck at the back of the ship.
Yes.
Okay, there's stairs on the right and on the left that lead up to the back deck, just like the front deck. You would have known that Anthel was on the left side of the ship, as was Sal, and you, the orc, last you saw. And on more on the right side of the ship was Aziza and Marius.
I'm going to go towards the right side. I'm assuming this is all this inverted for me. I'm going to go on the side that has Aziza and Marius on it.
Okay, the side that you already had come around, basically.
Crap, which side did Kosith go up?
Kosith also went up that side. Yeah, so, okay, so if the boat is facing forward, if you're looking at the boat and it's like you're looking at a top-down view, it's facing to the north. On the right side, at the front of the deck, that's where Aziza and Marius are right now, kind of in the middle of this front deck, in front of the crate, right, on the right side. And then on the left side of this front deck, or this lower deck in the front, is Sal and Anthel. Kel is on the right side of the deck on her face near the back stairs that go up to the back deck. And those are the same stairs that the Kosith ran up.
Okay, so I'm going to be going to those stairs.
Okay. So, yeah, okay. You step over Kel, and you go up the stairs.
Ugh.
And then for my bonus action, can I just, like, is there anywhere for me to hide up there?
There is a railing that goes around that is, the bottom half of the railing is, like, solid wood, and then the top half of the railing is, like, bars. So you could duck down, and it'd be hard to see.
That's...
Can I, real quick?
Yeah.
As you come up the stairs, you see that I'm holding on. I haven't drawn my weapons, but I'm holding on to the hilts, and I'm staring at you and your bloodied sword, and I'm clearly, like, in a very defensive position. I don't say anything, but I'm just, like, staring at you.
By the way, the ship's wheel is back up here with you guys, up on the deck.
Right. I would hope so.
Okay, 0 to 5. Assuming you're done, Xander. I've got two actors. I've got a 2 and a 3. Who else is moving 0 to 5?
I've got a 2.
Okay. What's your initiative bonus?
+4.
You will go first.
All right. So I'm going to try to take this orc guy out because he looks intimidating to me as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make another attack roll.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's an 18 plus my bonus from my short sword is 6. So that's a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
All right. Roll damage, and that is a 6. Oh, wait, sorry. I rolled a 6 plus 3 from my sword, so that's a 9.
You slice up at him again, and as you're going up his chest, you also slice into his cheek as your sword flings out. He like, reaches up and touches it as you do it, and blood comes away, and it's like a thick blue.
Ooh, nasty. For my bonus, I'm going to yell over to Sal and be like, get out of here or something. I don't know.
Get out of here?
Yeah.
She's like,
we're on a boat.
I know. She's going to roll her eyes at me. She's going to kick me.
Yeah, exactly. She like raises her eyebrows and rolls her eyes dramatically at you and lunges out at Charity and Silas. She misses both of them. They move out of the way easily. But then who's this? They're going to strike back at her. Silas misses and Charity hits her once again, and she involuntarily yells out in pain as Sal takes a hit with a sword.
Oy.
Marius is now on you, Aziza, and she swings out at you with her sword. Oh, that's a nat 20. Pierces your shoulder for 12 damage.
Okay.
How much health do you have overall, Mars?
I have 23.
Holy shit. We're all gonna die.
That's the idea. You guys better figure something out. I think that at this point, Elrulian, watching Kel's death, runs down the stairs and pulls out her sword, just is like sprinting down the deck toward Kel. The captain
is in his captain quarters with the shut door.
Exactly. He goes. He like dashes to his captain's quarters and shuts the door behind him.
Shit.
And immediately out of there comes Blanchett. And he's got, like, a club, but he doesn't look like he's too proficient with it. Who is it 5 to 10?
I am in 5 to 10.
Okay, Kosov, did you go this turn?
Sorry, I had a 1.
Okay, well, you can act now if you want to.
As I'm looking at Xander, I say, so you don't bat an eye, it's theft, and you clearly have no problem with murder. Why should we trust you?
What the fuck? Oh my god, I'm sorry.
We're so over this. Dude, so over this.
Help me!
Are you kidding me? There's mutiny right now, and I just saved your life.
I wasn't too worried about a halfling. I think I could have handled it without, like, having to take their life.
Oh my god, we've got a pacifist on the boat.
Well, what would you have proposed?
I think maybe we could have found a solution that didn't involve people losing their lives, or at least as few lives as possible.
Are you kidding me? There's people fighting on the boat right now. Do you really think people are going to have a peaceable solution?
They were open to it at first.
Aziza, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to roll a d20 for whether I hit or not, right?
It depends on what you're doing.
I'm going to cast Scorching Ray. And Scorching Ray can be cast at 3 different targets.
Yep.
So 2 of them I'm going to cast at Marius, and 1 of them towards whoever Anthel is fighting. What's his name?
The orc. Aranda.
Aranda.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mars.
Okay. So make a roll a d20 and add your spell attack bonus for each hit.
So,
and you're casting, you have to cast this at second level, so you'll use a second level slot.
Yes. Okay, so my first roll to hit was a 15 plus my, you said it's spell attack bonus, which is 6, so...
Yeah, that's a hit. Okay, then the second one, so that'll be Marius.
Yep.
Okay, then the second one?
Was a 12 plus 6, so 18, also at Marius.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then an 18 plus 6.
Jesus.
I've been rolling really well tonight.
Go ahead and roll 4d6 for the damage to Marius, and then 2d6 for the damage to the orc.
3.
3
plus
3.
7. 4.
Okay, so you do 12 damage to Marius, and a blaster with just this fire blast right in front of you, and then the last one goes up over her and hits Aranda the orc for how much?
7.
Okay. Yeah, on top of the slice up his face, the orc, you singe like the right side of his face and his ear, and he shouts out and grabs at it.
God, this guy has so much
dude,
health.
How much health does he have?
He's huge! He's a fucking huge orc!
So, we should obviously be trying to trip him off the boat. Where's the goblin chieftain? He's obviously the best at pushing people off boats.
Oh, wait. a quick question. So, Xander and Kosif are not within earshot of me, I'm assuming?
You could yell, but otherwise, no.
Okay, but I could yell.
Is Marius dead?
No, she's right in front of you.
Right, I know. How much health does she have left?
You don't know.
I'm not gonna tell you how much health the bad guys have. I'm never gonna tell you that.
God damn it.
That
okay.
is
how
not something
does she
the,
look?
The DM...
Dude, I just did 14 plus 12. Alone, to this one person.
She looks like she's got burns all over her body. The clothes she's wearing underneath her armor are in tatters, and... her sword, like, part of her sword is, like, charred. And, like, half an eyebrow is missing. There, you happy?
Yes, I'm happy now.
Okay.
Can I use another bonus action?
Nope. Everybody roll for initiative again.
So, quick question then to Grant. So, are Aziza and Marius, like, down the stairs that I'm hiding by, or are they on the front of the ship? Or on the opposite side of the ship?
Opposite side.
Aziza and Marius are on the side... Yeah, they're on the side you're
okay,
on.
Okay, so which
like,
side is Marius facing? Is she facing towards the back of the ship, or is she facing towards the front of the ship?
But they're at the front, right?
I was imagining her facing toward kind of like the front and back out into the sea. So she would have seen Elrulian run down behind Aziza, and Aziza's like facing the crate.
Okay, But would she be able to see me on this side if I were to sneak down and try stabbing her?
No, but Elrulian is like dashing up the deck toward Kel, toward you, where you are.
Okay, and the orc's on the other side?
Yep, the orc and Anthel are on pretty much the other side, yeah, of the mast. Negative 5 through 0?
I got a negative 2.
Okay, act.
All right, I'm going to take another swing at this orc.
Okay, do it.
Okay, 23 to hit.
That's a hit. Wow.
I know.
You guys are rolling well.
17 plus 6. And my damage is only a 6.
You do 6 damage to him?
Yep.
Okay, I'll let him. I'll let you slice him up in the way you want. He's not down, though.
All right, so I mean...
He looks bloodied.
I sliced him...
He looks hurt.
I sliced him up last, right, with his cheek?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to bring my sword right down and try to hit him, like, on his shoulder. Like, between his neck and his shoulder.
Okay, yeah, you do. And you definitely connect, but he's heavily armored up there. So what you end up doing is your sword becomes... less of a slicing tool and more of a bludgeoning one. Like, you brought a metal baseball bat down on his shoulder, and he like leans off to the left as you hit his left shoulder and shouts out at you. So nobody has 0. 1. I've got a 1.
Oh, sorry, I have a 1 also.
Okay, what's your initiative?
Plus 2.
Okay, then I'm moving first. Oh, this is Elrulian. Okay, she is running up the deck and. She leaps over Kel as she grabs onto the railing of the stairs and dashes up them and faces the both of you, Xander and Kosif.
Okay, so remember, I'm hiding right next to the thing. Did she, like, come up on top of the stairs?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, should I get, like, an opportunity attack for that? Because, like, I'm, like, poised and ready to, like, attack anybody coming up this thing.
I think you were just talking to Kosif. I'm not going to have her attack you, so I'm not going to give you an opportunity to attack. I think you were just talking to Kosif a second ago. This is all happening within, like, you know, a few seconds at a time. A round is only 6 seconds. So, like,
Okay. Everybody's
one turn, that happens within 6 seconds.
Right.
Okay.
To give you an idea of the time frame.
Sorry if I'm distracting you from more murder.
But she screams out at the both of you, half a question, half not. Which one of you? And you guys can say what you want if you want to. Go ahead, Kosif. I think it's you.
As she screams that, I like kind of like start to look at Xander, and I'm like, wait, there's nothing to be gained from us fighting. You can't bring her back. Like you need to stop.
Okay. You say that to Xander, or you say it to Elrulian. Make whatever kind of check you want. If you want to make a persuasion check or a performance check or...
Performance. That doesn't matter. So, either. Plus 0. Oh, 18. Fuck it.
She slows at your words. She doesn't attack you guys. She stops and is breathing hard and looks mad, but she stops. 2. Anybody have
me.
2?
I have 2.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
I'm going to cast Blade Word upon myself.
I don't think that requires anything. You need to say
a
thing.
Nope, it's a cantrip.
What do you say?
I don't actually need to say anything. I use my hand to trace a signal of warding in the air.
You do. It's a verbal spell.
You
have a thing where you can spend a sorcery point to not say anything. But, you know, I'm going to make it cool. You got to say something.
It's easier to say something.
It could be a pretend word, or it can be a word that you choose.
I say, let there be a barrier between us.
Until your next turn, you have resistance against bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. So that means halved, half damage. 3, 4. I have 2 actors on 4. Marius and the orc.
Ah, shit.
The orc takes his great sword, this massive sword, and comes down on you at you hard. Anthel.
I can imagine.
And is 16 a hit?
My armor class is 16, so yes. I think that does mean it hits, right?
Yeah, attackers win on ties, so... Yep, okay. And he crunches into you and hits you for 9 damage.
Okay.
Marius brings up her hand at you. It's glowing.
Aziza. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
She tries to reach out and touch you with her left hand.
Okay.
I mean, she rolled a natural one, so
I think so. She trips on a piece of rope on the deck.
Well, what I was gonna give you, I was gonna give you a chance. If you want to grab her wrist, I'll let you do that.
Okay.
And if you want to try to direct it back of her, stop hitting yourself. No. If you want to try to touch her own hand with herself, you can make an opposed strength check if you'd like.
Do it. Do it.
Yes, I would like to do that.
Okay.
She is pretty strong, though, I'm assuming.
She is also severely wounded, so... So I rolled a 13.
Yeah, she stops you and wrenches her hand out of your wrist. But you very much stop her, and she's a little off-put. 5, 6...
I'm a 7.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so I'm actually going to change my tactic around based off of what just happened. So I'm going to talk to Illyrian. Mm-hmm. And
I love how they're having a conversation at the back.
I know.
So I'm going to word this very carefully. I'm making an apology. Xander honestly wouldn't feel sorry in this case, so this is all going to be a deception check.
Okay.
But I'm going to say, I am so sorry.
Like you're acting on instinct or something. Yeah, go ahead.
Right,
go ahead.
I am so sorry. She was chasing after my friend and I was trying to protect him.
Why has it come to this?
Is that what she's saying? Why has it come to this?
No, that's just me.
No, wrong. Make a roll.
Sorry, that's Anthil being a dork.
Okay. So am I making a roll for the deception check right here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's going to put me at 17.
She believes your apology, but she's still mad. She goes, this is bullshit. Why are we even doing this? The captain is wrong. He's a good man, but he doesn't know how to lead. We should be done with this before more deaths happen. She says, help me convince the others. Let's just go to Mordi and sell the goods and go our separate ways. Kel and I have not been dating that long, and I'll miss her. But...
Grant's, like, trying to reprieve himself right here. He's like, I honestly didn't look at their age.
When no, I wrote them down. I literally planned their age. If you're 115 as an elf, that's like... early 20s. That's like the equivalency.
I haven't been dating that long, says an elf.
Point that out, okay? Yeah, yeah. So she says, and like she's like wiping a tear from her face.
Oh.
No more of this. Help me stop the others. Let's sell our goods. You all would take a hefty portion from this. The earnings.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Where are your morals, Xander?
Oh my gosh, you wanted the peaceful solution.
Charity and Silas attack Sal again, and they both hit.
Jesus.
And Sal takes a couple of stab wounds and is limping a little bit. She cuts back at Charity. Oh, I forgot about Bubba, too. Bubba would, he'll rush in at the orc, but Charity is not going to be hit by the weakened sow. Bubba's going to rush over and try to stab the orc as well. But the orc is ready and knocks away his blade. Okay, and I think that's the end of the round, so we're going to take a short break.
Sweet.
Cool. The break will be longer for you, my friends, for this episode will be split into two parts. You can expect part 2 later this week if you're listening as these come out. And if you're from the future, well, hello. Is it rainy where you are? See you next time.